possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome to hell. A baseball hell that we're all living in. You gotta laugh, otherwise you cry. How we doing on this fine Monday? It is Evan and Tiki. Tiki off today. I'll be back tomorrow. Don't worry, we'll get to the football later. The Jets and Giants had wonderful preseason debuts. But this weekend and really the last 2 months has been hell. And we will spend plenty of time talking about why the Mets stink, why the Yankees stink. There's a myriad of reasons. There's a lot of things that were added to it over the weekend. And so trust me, there will be 98% negativity throughout this day, as you've already heard. And of course, we will talk to you at 888-808-1019. But if you don't mind, Sean, can I start with something that at least should give all of us hope?
Hope?
Hope. That's the key word, hope.
All right, sure. So it's a Justin Fields take. What do we got?
Why are you taking a shot at the Jets 5 seconds into the show? Justin Fields played great this weekend. Shut your mouth.
How is that a shot at the Jets?
I don't know. It just felt like one.
You said, can I start with hope?
Oh.
That's actually a positive thing about the Jets, but I digress.
Yeah, I guess I'm just waiting for negativity from you. Look, the Mets are a mess. The Yankees are a mess. They've been a mess for a while. There's no denying that. But the thing I hold out hope on today on August 11th, and I'll hold out this hope until it's over, is that if the season ended today, they would both be in the postseason. And in a best of three series, maybe they get hot. The Mets would play the Dodgers. Maybe they beat them. The Yankees would play the Astros. Well, we know the answer to that. But my point to you all is this, because I have gotten a ton of emails and tweets and text messages. The Mets are dead. The Yankees are dead. I'll say a lot of mean things about the Mets today. I will, I promise. I'll say a lot of mean things about the Yankees today. I promise. The one thing you will never hear from me, because it's a lie, it's not true, it's not based on reality, is that anybody's dead. In the postseason, it's a new year. So let's all reset together, Mets fans and Yankee fans. Just make the freaking tournament and get hot at the right time. Tell me where I'm telling lies.
This is beyond a shadow of a doubt the thing I am the most sick and tired of hearing come out of your mouth for the last 2 years.
Why?
This opinion of yours that, hey, just get in. Anything can happen. While on a minimal factual basis, yeah, okay. Like, technically, any team that gets in the playoffs has a chance to win a championship. Both of these baseball teams have now told us by August 11th, loud and clear who they are. That doesn't mean they're going to lose out the rest of the year and bottom out. It doesn't mean they're actually going to miss the playoffs. They'll have a couple moments. Maybe it's versus the Twins for the Yankees or for the Mets when they play, you know, the Nationals, the Marlins. They'll thump their chest a little bit. But these teams have told us loud and clear who they are. They are full of flaws. Some more flaws than some of these big teams that we've seen the Yankees and Mets get bounced around by, especially this weekend. The Mets can't hit with runners in scoring position. Just when you think they can score a bunch of runs, their bullpen that was supposed to be fixed, that turns into a pumpkin the last couple days. The Yankees and all of their issues. I mean, how many times do you need to not be able to field the ball properly in the outfield? How many times does Aaron Boone have to push the wrong button in the bullpen? How many times does that lineup not come through? Or Max Fried now is turned into a complete disaster at times. These teams have spoken to us, and they've told us, don't believe in us. So, yeah, get in the tournament. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. We should remove our hearts and our mental investment from these teams as much as humanly possible. Otherwise, you're only due for more heartbreak. These teams are dead.
Well, they're not dead. I mean, I'm sorry.
They're
dead. You can say it as loudly as you want. It's not true. Because, yes, they've been bad for months. And there's no denying it. Like, the facts are the facts. For 2 months now, the Mets are a bad team. For 2 months now, the Yankees are a bad team. And no one could argue that because they've been that way. I've even pointed out that if you go back to late April, the Mets have been a mediocre team for over 90 games. But for either team to make the postseason, which is still, to borrow a phrase from the manager of the Yankees, right in front of them, they're going to have to win more games than they lose. Would you agree with that statement, at least?
Yes, and I do think both teams' schedule does dictate that they will.
So just hear me out on this.
Okay.
For the New York Yankees, I'll start with them, to make the postseason, currently they're a half game up on the Guardians. They are no lock. No one's suggesting they are.
A half game up? We thought they were a lock for the one seed in May.
I understand. Calm down for a second. I understand. I'm emotional about this, too. I'm trying to be reasoned here at 2:05 on a Monday. And it doesn't mean I'm positive. I'm just trying to be reasoned, okay? They're a half game up on the Cleveland Guardians, a team whose closer is in a betting scandal, and they've also traded pieces off, okay? But would you not agree that for the New York Yankees to make the postseason in their final 48 games, they're going to have to win more than they lose? Is that not a fair statement?
Yeah.
Okay, stop right there.
Okay.
For the New York Mets, whose lead for a wild card spot, shockingly enough, is a game and a half on the Cincinnati Reds. Forget the division for a second. Making the postseason is no longer a lock. They're only a game and a half up on Cincinnati. For the Mets to make the playoffs, they're going to have to win more games than they lose the rest of the way. Would you agree with that?
Correct.
Okay. So both teams, in order to just get to the minimum of what I described, have to at least play some semblance of competent baseball over the next month and a half. If they do so, and they're in the postseason, of course they have a chance.
Stop it, Evan. A team's DNA is a team's DNA. Yeah, okay, they could win more games than they lose. Baseball plays a million games for a reason, right? Yeah, I don't expect the Mets to have multiple 7-8-game losing streaks the rest of the way, or the Yankees for that matter either. But just because you might play, let's say, from this point forward, 5 games above 500 with the games you have left. Like, let's just call that what it is.
Yeah.
That's going to make you feel better because, well, you know, you had a winning record versus a bunch of subpar teams.
Sean, it's not feeling better. It's about giving yourself a chance to play your best baseball at the right time.
What do you think happens when these teams get to the postseason if they just get in? That suddenly a light switch is going to be flipped? Here's what I don't like. Because last year, while you had some of these moments along the regular season, the magic, if you will. Mm-hmm. Now, the Yankee magic wasn't as, you know, I guess fun as some of the Met magical moments, but you could point to moments and you could point to games. Both of these teams, at times during this crappy play for the last 3 months, had a game here or there where we pointed to a moment and said, that's going to wake you up.
Yeah.
Why would I think that one win in the postseason, suddenly that would now become the galvanizing moment if you got in to take you off and running?
The difference is, Sean, I'm not arguing it's going to happen. It's very difficult today to actually have confidence that the Mets or Yankees are just going to flip a switch. It's more reminding everyone the realities as we sit here in the middle of August. It sucks right now. There's no sugarcoating it. They're bad right now.
It sucked for the whole summer.
I get that. They've been bad for months. Whatever date you want to use as a line of demarcation. Coincidentally, it's the date we argued who's better on June 13th.
It's our fault.
It is our fault. But it's not about why I believe either team is going to turn it around. It's more that there's time for them to turn it around. And Aaron Boone said something the other day at his press conference. It's very powerful and it's very true. Joel Sherman was challenging him. Joel Sherman says, what are you good at? You know, because the Yankees haven't been good at anything.
Mm-hmm.
Fair, tough question. And Aaron Boone had an answer. Right now, we're not good at anything, but we're capable of it. And that's the thing about both of these teams that's so frustrating. They're capable of more. The Met offense is capable of not going LD. That's a phrase I use on the Rico. It uses curse words. It's very inappropriate. Basically, they're limp, okay?
Oh.
Yeah, thank you. They don't have to go limp for the final four innings of every game, but that's what they've been doing. They're capable of more than that. Their starting pitching, especially at the top, is capable of more than that. They are capable of not being a bad baseball team like they've been for 2 months. Same with the Yankees. So right now, we can go through every issue each team has. What makes this infuriating, probably more so than most seasons we've witnessed as Met fans and Yankee fans, is that deep in my core, I know they're better than this. They should be better than this. Now, how do I explain that the Mets have been a bad team for 2 months? How do I explain that they've been a mediocre team for 96-plus games? I wish I had the answer. But I know that they're capable of more, which is why if you're a Yankee fan and a Met fan, as upset and angry and disgusted as you are, they can easily turn this around. Evan, they can!
Evan.
I'm not expecting it necessarily, but they can. So stop telling me they're dead. They're not dead. They're playing like they're dead. They've been awful. If you were at Yankee Stadium this weekend, I'm sorry. If you flew to Milwaukee, sorry about the rainstorms.
Yeah, geez.
But I'm sorry that you watched that garbage. I'm sorry you watched Carlos Mendoza not show guts by going to Edwin Diaz earlier on Sunday. I'm sorry Francisco Lindor can't field a ground ball. I'm sorry. But it doesn't mean, as down as we are, that this is it. And they're done, and they suck. I'm sorry.
You're setting yourself up for more heartbreak thinking that. We're all capable of greatness. Tommy's capable of not being an immature loser at 40 years old.
Why are you picking on Tommy? Where'd that come from?
Because I am. I'm capable of being much thinner. You're capable of looking better than you do on a daily-to-day basis. But what do we constantly do in those regards? We probably disappoint more than we should. The Mets and Yankees, I would hope, are capable with the star power they have on both of these teams of being better than they've shown us. But at some point, Evan, what you've shown us is what you are. And the 2025 Mets and the 2025 Yankees, if not for April, and if not for the beginning of the May, have shown us that despite their payroll, despite their stars, they are exactly that, mediocre to below average teams. And I'll do you one better. The league rules are the league rules. What is our discussion today if Major League Baseball wasn't run by money pig owners that wanted an extra wild card race or an extra wild card?
Both teams would be in trouble.
Yeah. What the hell would we be saying?
They'd be in more trouble,
I should say.
We
are clinging on to hope based on the fact that they get an extra entry in because of baseball's greed.
Sean, that doesn't matter.
It does matter.
No, it doesn't. That's the
format. Extra wild card is there for finances. The Yankees and Mets are not capable of being a last wild card going on a roll just because they got in.
But
that's nonsense.
But of course they are. All you have to do is look at the last few years. The Philadelphia Phillies potentially choked away a playoff spot, barely made the playoffs, and got to the World Series. So that argument of, well, that playoff spot shouldn't even exist, they're not capable of it, is not true. Like, I'll walk into your world of there's only two wild card teams. Yeah, the Mets would be 2.5 games out. It'd be a tough spot. I mean, it'd be tricky. We'd say, wow, can they catch the Padres? In the Yankees' case, they'd also be 2.5 games out. They'd be trailing the Red Sox.
Okay, but Evan,
what does that mean?
Your big argument is, well, you're going to have to play above 500 again for both of these teams. And we've both looked at the schedule. Yeah, there's harder games than others, but we both, I think, agree that they're going to play above 500 despite all their flaws.
They better.
Okay, but what... Like, honestly, so other than just saying, hey, they played above 500, they got in, anything can happen. To me, that's not a belief. Like, what would it take to actually believe? To me, I got to see like a 10-game win streak out of both teams at this point.
There's a difference between you having optimism when the playoff begins and anything could happening once you're there. I'm not telling you you're going to be positive going into a best of three against Boston or Houston or whoever the heck they face. I'm just reminding you that the beauty of this sport, or maybe not the beauty of this sport, just the way it is just get to the tournament.
Just get to the tournament. These teams should be above just getting to the tournament. That's what's a disgrace.
Sure, I know they should be, but they're not.
Exactly.
And so saying they're dead and it's over and what's the point of watching is stupid. It's just dumb.
To treat these teams like the little engine they could, like the Diamondbacks of a couple years ago. And oh, by the way, all of the examples we've used about teams getting hot didn't ultimately win a World Series either, I want to mind you. I understand, just get there, anything could happen. This is so distasteful to act like any Yankee fan or Met fan who has seen what they've seen all summer go, hey, but you know what? You never know. You get in. That should not be the bar for these teams, and we know better. You are setting yourself up as a fan for failure if that's the attitude you're going in with.
Maybe I'm setting myself up for failure. Here's what I know. The Mets have stunk for a while now. There's no disputing that. This weekend against Milwaukee was incredibly discouraging. The way they lost on Friday, the way they even lost on Saturday, obviously yesterday was just, I mean, it was water torture.
Yeah. Take away Hell's Bells, by the way. He's not allowed an entry.
I understand that. Like, yesterday was one of those games. The Mets had a 5-0 lead. And as I talked about late last week, I was watching this at a barbecue. And I did not score the game, for anyone that was curious.
Oh, we need to talk about that later.
But I was surrounded by diehard Met fans, and we all had the same feeling at 5-0. And that was, this doesn't feel safe.
Did you bet it?
It never felt safe. I didn't bet it because I was at this barbecue. I was busy, you know, running around, following my youngest son. I was trying to be, you know, talkative. Mm-hmm. I was shoving hot dogs down my throat. Huh. So, no, I did not take out the emotional hedge. I wish I did. And if I had the opportunity to, I probably would have. But yesterday's game for the Mets was like one of those inevitable crashes. Like, inevitably. Sean Manaea puts guys on base. As soon as he gave up that 2-run hit to Joey Ortiz that made it the 5-3 game, I'm like, we're screwed. Even when they added the insurance run, what happens an inning later? Here's William Contreras hitting a 2-run home run at 6-5. And you knew, even with this new and improved bullpen, you just knew. They're blowing this game.
Yep.
And so it was bad. I'm not trying to tell you I'm in a happy place. I'm in a sad place. I'm in a depressed Met fan place. But what I remind myself is the reality of the sport. And that is, they're not dead. As dark as things seem, it's not over. Am I encouraged that they're going to come home and beat the Atlanta Braves? Not really. Am I encouraged that the Yankees are going to beat up their, you know, the Twins, who they always beat? Not really. But I do know with a month and a half to go in this season, there is time to fix this mess. But it's going to have to start internally. It's going to have to start with Yankees starting pitchers going more than 5 innings. I mean, I could say the same about the Mets outside of David Peterson. We know that's true. It's going to start with Aaron Judge. What has the King done since coming off the IL?
Nothing. But he always does this when he gets off to, or he goes on the injured list. It's a slow start coming back. Evan, any team that makes the playoffs has an inferior chance because you just happen to be there.
Stop right there.
But
I convinced him. Thank you. No, Let's move on.
We all know when the NFL season comes and goes, when you sit down and watch that wild card weekend game Saturday at 4:30.
This isn't football, bro.
It is.
No, it's not.
The Yankees and Mets represent the Houston Texans hosting a wild card Saturday game at 4:30.
No,
you know they're there,
don't.
And you know they got no shot at dancing at the end.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, The Fan, on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
Coming up at exactly 2:40, we'll let you hear Yankee legends rip the current team as players had a fun time doing that on Old Timers Day. We'll get to your calls in a minute as well, 888-808-1019. This is a very difficult question for me to answer. I want you to answer it as well as the representative of Yankee fans right now. Your worst moment from the team you watch from this weekend. I have so many options. I was debating the throw out at the plate by Blake Perkins. Friday night, set the tone. You know, Jeff McNeil comes through. They're about to tie the game. Marte's thrown out. I was debating. This one makes me laugh. It was so painful. When they called a pitch clock violation on Ryan Helsley as he got the final out of the seventh inning. Yeah. Now, the Mets had given up the lead at this point, but it was only a one-run game.
It did it.
They call a pitch clock violation, and on the next pitch, Contreras hits a two-run home run. Like, I found myself laughing because otherwise I'd start crying like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then take your pick from Sunday, whether it's the game-winning home run, whether it's Ortiz tie in the game. But if I had to pick one that caused the most pain in my stomach, it's probably, believe it or not, Ortiz tying the game on Sunday. Because once the Brewers tied the game, this team, and some may say they're heartless, some may say gutless, some like the manager may say they just don't know how to make adjustments late in games. Whatever the reason, I don't care. The Met offense does nothing late in games. Again, just facts. They don't do anything. So you knew once the Brewers tied the game, the offense wasn't going to do anything. And obviously that turned out to be the case. So if I had to pick one moment that just pained my stomach the most, it was actually Joey Ortiz tying the game in the eighth inning on Sunday.
On Sunday.
What's yours?
So obviously long weekend. I have a couple of those you could go right. First of all, any of the Altuve homers Friday.
How about Sunday, the first one?
I mean, geez.
I mean, you guys haven't even got the F word out of your mouth before he's hitting the home run.
Basically killed roll call. You can put that, right? The moment I think is going to stick out from this series is actually not the lowest moment because the game was lost at that point. That's the Bellinger what the heck throw that was.
Yes.
That might be the most memeable moment from the year. But the moment that pains me the most is going to stick out the most, I think, is unquestionable. The moment Aaron Boone went to Devin Williams on Friday night.
100%.
I mean, 100%. I sat there dumbfounded at the screen. Couple Kona big waves in, but still dumbfounded at the screen that all the momentum they built up with the Bednar 5-out save and knowing that Devin Williams should basically be buried, that was your go-to. And the answers after about Leiter's pitch counts, which were minimal, Tim Hill only faces lefties. And by the way, I love you, Andy Martino, our friend over at SMY. Boy, was he trying to pick up some slack for the Yankees this weekend, too. I don't know if you saw any of his tweets Friday night trying to defend Boone.
No.
You cannot defend what they did Friday night with
Devin
Williams.
I botched it again.
Unbelievable.
I agree with you. As an IBO, I would have said the same thing. Going to Devin Williams and then the implosion.
Yes.
I mean, because
think what's going to happen?
Like, as much as we all knew Devin was going to implode, even I, as a Devin Williams supporter, kind of knew how it would end. There was always that chance he would get through it.
Oh, my God.
But it was the worst.
And note that Devin Williams not only has blown games, he led to Amed Rosario going on the freaking injured list because he gave up that bomb against the wall that Rosario basically killed himself on.
Fair points. Now, let's hear from you. 888-808-1019, the toll-free number. Let's go to Greg in Rye, New York. Good afternoon, Greg.
Hey, guys. Honored to be on. I think it's time. I almost called you on Friday, but I said, let me see what happens this weekend. I think it's time for you guys to debate which is the worst team in New York. We're almost August 13th, like, to the day. Like, we need to turn this around. We're running out of time.
Yeah, and this whole thing started while I was debating who the best team in New York was. All right, a couple of things. Before we engage in something like this later on in the show to hopefully turn the tide, without getting into detail, who is in a worse situation right now, the Mets or the Yankees?
It's the Yankees.
Oh, wow.
But I do believe if the roles were flipped, this is so ironic, I would pick the Mets. I think it's based on league. I don't trust the Reds to capture that last wild card.
The bottom of the NL, by the way, I'd actually agree with that as much as I've ripped on the American League, and I stand by the NL is better at the top. But I agree the Reds, Cardinals, Giants threat to me is not as fearsome specifically as Texas is.
Yeah, with their pitching.
Along with Cleveland.
Yep, exactly. I still think Texas will ultimately be the team, which is why that tiebreak was so important for the Yankees. But the combo of Texas-Cleveland, I trust way more than Cincinnati and friends, let's call them, behind the Mets.
Yeah, it's funny.
So it's actually less to do with our teams here and more to do with the bottom of the league.
Yeah, so the fight wouldn't be a good fight because I agree with you for the most part, and so does Tommy. I mean, Tommy's not going to say the Mets are in more trouble.
The argument is not.
What's the argument?
The argument is which team is worse. Which team is worse. Not who's in worse shape.
That's true. Which team is worse?
I think the Mets are worse.
Okay. And Tommy, you think the Yankees are worse, right?
Yes, I do.
All right. I think that maybe at, let's say, 4:30 mm-hmm. be a good time. You guys can fight it. I'll be the judge. Like, I'll play the tiki role. And hopefully you guys fighting, we could call it a Lou Gehrig debate series. I got no problem with that. But maybe you guys for fighting with each other will turn both teams around, since on June 13th, when this all began, it was a stupid fight about who's better.
So much like in Avengers Endgame, we have to reverse the Thanos snap from the previous movie to bring back all the heroes and make the playoffs. Is that what we're doing?
We are kind of having a live production meeting on the air. I just want to make two observations.
What's that?
Number one, it was me and Evan that did cause this to begin
with. I know, but you want to recreate that? And Tommy's Tiki, who judges who is better?
I think you almost have to, right?
Just I don't want to force something that's not there, Evan. I just don't think it does the trick if it's not me and you. That's number one. Number two, you know, Tommy, for as great as he is, he does, he's a wounded puppy dog off a three-day trip in Nashville. I know I'm going to beat him in this debate.
Yeah, with all due respect to sports, I didn't see a second of any sports over the last 4 days. Not one. And very happy that I didn't. Some things in life are more fun.
Yeah, but I don't blame you for that. I am not holding it against you. For those that don't know, Tommy had a nice trip down in Nashville, Tennessee, and had a wonderful time. And that is great. And you are not held to the standard that you got to watch every second of every game. But how then can you go out and lead Met fans into positivity when you didn't see any of the games?
Because you lead in spirit. You lead in
what?
My spirit, my aura just rallies the troops. Although I will say this, a lot of the tweets I sent out over the week, and I was telling Sean this off the air, I did one of those where you post it and then you don't look. And I would wake up and I'd go, I can't sift through all these comments. Why does it have 100,000 views? Why is Frank the Tank mad at me? I'm like,
oh, Frank hates you.
But you know what, though? You said it right. If the season ended today, the Mets would be in the postseason. But hold on. We can't get to a point now as Met fans where just making the postseason is somehow old hat. Evan, you and I in our lifetime, what have we made it, like 10 times? And now all of a sudden, that's not good enough? I am not saying that they are playing well right now. I'm not going to come on the air and lie to anybody. But they are still in the postseason right now. And that should be what we are focusing on.
What will determine how we feel about the Mets, as the Yankees are, is A, obviously you got to make the playoffs. If either team misses the playoffs and it's an unmitigated disaster, I think we all understand that. It's what you do in the playoffs. That defines an entire season. It also defines what we think of a player. Like, the criticism Juan Soto is facing will be turned on its head if he gets 450 through a deep playoff run.
That, no doubt about
it. So I do agree that the playoffs will determine how we feel. But in fairness, and in an attempt to turn the mojo around, we will schedule it now. Let's say 5:10, right after Yasinko.
Okay.
Who is worse, the Mets or the Yankees, to try to turn the mojo around? Let's go to Ken on Long Island. What's up, Ken?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Real quick, Sean, that's just a baboon statement. The team's not dead. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
To win a World Series? You think these teams alive to win a World Series, Ken?
Do you think you have the pitching to win a World Series in a short series?
I don't think either of these teams do, frankly.
I just disagree. But okay. We can go back and forth on that. But, Evan.
Yes.
Agreed, disagreed. This offseason that David Stern will have is the biggest in franchise history.
The biggest in franchise history this upcoming offseason? I don't know if I could say that. Why? To determine if Pete's coming back? I mean, Soto's here, Lindor's here, Nimmo's here. A lot of the rotation is even here. So Edwin Diaz is certainly a big question, but what do you mean? Why do you think it would be the biggest in team history?
Well, with all those interchangeable pieces, who are you keeping? What kids are you keeping? Who are you trading to bring in an additional piece?
Here's the problem, Ken, here's the problem with the question, all right? It is August 11th, and if you're going to argue with Sean that the Mets and the Yankees both have a chance once they get to the playoffs, how could we actually begin an offseason discussion? Like, it's going to be determined, a lot of this is going to be determined by what happens next, by what occurs.
Usually, whatever warts you think are the biggest will be the ones that do you in a postseason, and that's how you identify an offseason plan, in my opinion. unless it's Yankee fundamentals, in which case you do absolutely nothing and then watch them still suck the next year.
Right. I think that the Mets, and this is good news and bad news at the same time, I don't know if you guys heard, but yesterday, David Stearns promoted a lot of their top prospects. And I don't just mean top Met prospects, top baseball prospects, guys who are top 100 prospects. Jet Williams is going to AAA.
Nice.
Jonah Tong is going to AAA. Ryan Clifford is going to AAA. Carson Bench, who I may be most excited about, is going to AAA. Now, why do I say that? Why does it matter? I think the Mets next year are going to feature just a ton of young players.
Right.
And there's a very big hit or miss factor to that. Carson Bench could win Rookie of the Year and be the talk of the town. He could also stink and be sent back down to the minors. But I think the Mets are set up with such a deep farm system that if you're expecting some grandiose offseason, you're going to be disappointed. Because I don't expect that, but I'm also not thinking about that because there's still a month and a half left in this season.
I can't think about this upcoming offseason. To me, if I don't care enough right now and they've beaten the care out of me for the rest of the year, how the hell can I care about the offseason?
Jason in Montgomery. Hey, Jason.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
What's up, man?
Not much. Yeah, so you guys brought up the point I was going to bring up earlier as far as, because I was at Friday's game, actually not my birthday, but Altuve, thank you. Yeah, but you and Sean, you guys brought up the point earlier when Altuve, when they started those F Altuve chants, I knew he was putting one into the seats. It was just
Yankee fans. Yankee fans, I say this with peace and love. You guys are so stupid. You got to stop with this crap, man.
What are you guys talking about? You think he was hitting a home? Wasn't hitting a home run if they didn't chant F Altuve?
It doesn't matter if it was or it wasn't. We got to stop it, bro. It's dumb.
Okay, so say nothing. Yeah. Just let him beat your brains in anyway. At least the Yankee fans are trying something. Yankees just let him go up there and treat it like it's a cartoon.
Yeah, I just
I just knew it was coming, like right when he hit it. But I got one more point for you, Evan, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
So a few weeks ago, I remember I called you and we were debating Devin Williams whether to trade him or not. Now Friday's game when he walked out there and he gave up, you know, the home run and he gave up the hit to Correa. And like as soon as he walked out there, the stadium had the whole feel. Like you knew, like yeah. he was going to blow the game. Do you look at that like a little bit differently, saying, "Wow, like the Yankees should, especially since they acquired Bednar." I mean, my original point to that was, if you could put Luke Weaver back into that original role, I think you can get away with trading Devin Williams and just getting anything back.
I'd be lying if I said I thought this was going to happen to him. I did not. I thought Devin Williams turned the season around, which is why I spiked the football last month by paying old clips of me saying, right. Don't worry, he'll get the closer's job back, he'll be fine. And I've already taken my L for that. I'm surprised that it's gone sour again, but I have to admit, I am now convinced, the way most of you are, that he can't play here.
No.
Despite striking out the side the other day, which was nice to see, I think Aaron Boone can only use him in low leverage situations until further notice. It would take him putting together a lot of good performances in a row before I had the confidence to put him back into a high leverage spot. In terms of trading him, like my thinking at the time, and it's crazy that that was only a week and a half ago, was I want to try to win. I don't want to take away from what gives me a chance to win. And at the time, Devin was the closer. And I thought, are you laughing at what I thought?
Yeah, because he's hurt them in their chances to win.
Well, that's why, like, what should
But we knew not to trust them. Everybody knew not to trust them.
I disagreed with
you.
I disagreed. What do you want me to tell you? I was wrong.
He has told us above anything else who he is. And I give credit to, I do think Pete Alonso broke him. Now, well, Devin Williams will go be a nice, maybe he'll go back to Milwaukee. He'll be a nice reliever in a small market.
He great prediction, by the way. He will, as like the seventh inning guy.
Yeah.
Because they got tons of studs in that bullpen. Yep. Abner Uribe is amazing. Obviously, Tyler McGill's brother, Trevor's awesome. But you're right. That's a good long-term prediction. Devin Williams is back in Milwaukee pitching the seventh inning next year.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, Devin Williams is always going to be remembered now in Yankee history.
Yeah.
Always. For the beard policy.
Right.
I'm not kidding.
No, you're right.
Yankee fans are always, now think about that. Anybody who turned on the beard policy, there's going to be like a 5% in the back of their brain going, this freaking Devin Williams is the reason we switched.
Yeah. Now, yesterday, or I should say Saturday, when they had Old Timers Day, first of all, station did amazing. Susan and Dave Sims did a great job interviewing everybody. I was listening to it, not live, but we do a great job podcasting stuff. So you can listen to it. Go to WFN On Demand. Willie Randolph was on. Mariano Rivera was on. It was loaded with good stuff. And there were two thoughts I had in talking about this current Yankee team along with the dynastic Yankees. And that is, number one, the dynasty, specifically 96 through 2001, which is really the dynastic era, has ruined people's opinions on baseball in this town. It's ruined your opinion.
I agree.
Because that team was so good and so not human that the standard that the Yankees have to live up to is not fair. That's a dynasty. That's the greatest team I've ever seen. I'm not old enough to see the 27 Yankees. That is the greatest baseball teams over that five-year period that have ever been assembled. The Dodgers aren't even close. I thought the Astros were challenging
it. Yeah, they're not. Yeah.
But they've also had a lot of changes over the years where it's tough to even challenge it. So number one, as everybody was celebrating, not just the 2000 team, but really the dynasty, they've ruined it for everybody. Number two, and I have one example I pulled, but it was constant. These guys took turns bashing the current Yankee team. I mean, it was constant. It's like Paul O'Neill said, yeah, I'm a broadcaster. These guys suck. Now, he didn't say that point blank,
right?
But there was a lot of that. And to me, this was the biggest one. Jorge Posada. This was a question asked to Jorge, obviously not even on the Yankee broadcast. This was by SNY, who interviewed him. And the question was, hey, Jorge, what do you think of this current team? Here's the question, here's the answer, and we'll discuss.
What do you want to see change for this current Yankee team?
A little, let's, you know, want to do it. Like, it's just more about attitude than anything. So just gotta get a little angry. Hopefully a fight or something that happens. Not a fight, but something that happens that gets them going again.
Are we going to see a fight break out in the old-timers game?
Not here, but... Yeah, but they need to have that chip on their shoulder. You know, the players, you got to play like that. You know, you can't be friends with everybody.
Okay, there's a lot here. He obviously stopped himself from saying fight. Took him about 5 seconds. He was like, oh, crap, I don't want to get in trouble. But then, when given the opportunity to joke about Alzheimer's Day, he brought it right back. Like, it was almost, I'm not done yet. I got more to say. I don't like players being friends with the opponent. Now, that's a broader issue. I mean, the Mets are dealing with that, too.
It's unfortunately, I think that's a today's athlete thing more than it's a Yankee problem.
I agree with you. Okay. And that's what I thought when he said that. But to go out of your way, instead of saying, hey, their pitchers need to go deeper into games, or B, they need to be more fundamentally sound. These are all valid baseball critiques of this Yankee team. Or their offense needs to be better, which it hasn't been for over a month. They still lead the American League in runs, but we've seen it go downward. He went right to the attitude. And I heard that a lot from Yankee players over the last couple of days, really Saturday. And I found that interesting, that that's the thing that jumps out to them about this current Yankee team.
Well, by attitude, I mean, I guess the last guy the Yankees had with your attitude, and I thought he was a little overrated by the fan base, was Brett Gardner slamming the bat against the top of the dugout. They don't have any of that anymore. They don't have Paul O'Neill beating the crap out of a water cooler, any of that. But at the same time, what is their reason for being any of that? Because as long as that manager, and I understand what he's doing, goes up at every post-game press conference and makes every excuse under the sun for players, where is the internal pressure in that locker room to be held to like a breaking point where you're going to show a little fire and a little what now? Because every time they lose a game, we don't know what's getting said in the actual locker room, but publicly, all of our ire is always at Aaron Boone because it feels like he's lying to us. You know, if a couple more people got thrown under the bus, maybe there'd be a little more accountability in that room and more people would show a little stressed out nature and a little fire. I don't know. I think that all trickles down. Don't you?
You don't think it's the roster makeup. It's the manager and the tone that is set.
Yes. I think if enough reporters got their cues, the manager said, man, you know, Aaron was really hard on you after the game or something like that. I think all of that stuff trickles down. You get a little more angry. Then you have, you know, it doesn't have to be a locker room split, but, you know, players looking at each other going, you got to pick up your slack here? Look, you heard what Aaron said, this, that, the other. Like, you don't get any of that. There's no feel or need that any day, because any day they just walk in the locker room and goes, oh, this is the day we're going to turn it around. Our manager said so.
Yeah. I disagree with you, but I also kind of disagree with Jorge.
Okay.
I think that, and I said this about the Mets. We were fighting about this a few years ago when the Mets had the bad year, and it was, oh, the locker room. The locker room's an issue. The locker room's an issue. And then last year, the locker room wasn't an issue.
Yeah.
Unless you believe J.D. Martinez was magic and Jose Iglesias was magic, it's a similar roster. Now we're back to it again this year with the Mets. Ah, the locker room. Same thing with the Yankees. The Yankees were in the World Series last year.
Sure.
Was the lack of fight, the lack of being in a fight, or in your case, the lack of accountability from the manager, was that a problem when they got to the World Series and they were set up to win game one?
No, but it's a reason they lost the World Series.
I don't know if I agree with
that. Like, that stuff did them in, the manager did them in. And I think last year, unfortunately, the Yankees, look, any bad steak could be a good steak with the right sauce, right? The Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, King Aaron Judge combo, I think masked so much of that that the team looked at it. So we have two of the five best players in baseball.
Right,
look, one of them is always on. And I think that led to the winning, and that led to a lot of that, masked a lot of what happened.
I think the reasons why the Yankees are where they are and the Mets are where they are has more to do with what they're not doing on the field versus they're not tough enough and they're not angry enough or they don't have the right leader.
If they were tougher and angry, maybe they win more games on the field.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think it's really just about performance. I mean, the Yankees starters don't go past the fifth inning.
Nope.
Is that because they're not tough? Is that because they're not screaming and angry enough?
I think it's for multiple reasons.
Okay,
but yeah.
King Aaron Judge hasn't had an extra base hit since he's come back from the IL. Is that because he's not angry enough?
No, I think that's because he always is slow off the IL.
But that's my point. Like,
but these problems go beyond Aaron Judge even going on the IL.
But they were
in
the World Series last year. The Mets were in the NLCS last year.
Were they?
Of a sudden, the rooms... Yes, the Yankees were in the World Series last year.
Yankees in World Series? Because I don't see Gerrit Cole. I don't see Juan Soto. I don't see Gleyber Torres.
The guts of the team were, yes. Same thing with the Mets. Guts of the team.
Maybe they lost some of the guts of this team.
How'd they lose it?
Their ace not being here.
So you think...
Their best pound-for-pound player not named Aaron Judge not being here.
Well, Soto's a tremendous player, and I think that goes back to what they lost baseball-wise.
Their tone setter in September and October not being here.
Who's that?
Gleyber Torres. He top of the order, he did. The team's still searching for a leadoff hitter.
I'm not disagreeing.
I know, and I had my issues with Gleyber, but you think about you when you want to talk about teams getting hot and being in the dance, the Yankees really, 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 truly getting hot and like taking off for good, a lot of that had to do with Gleyber Torres settling into the leadoff role.
I'm not laughing at the fact that Gleyber Torres wasn't important to the team. It's just weird to hear you waxing about, boy, they miss him.
I know. And look, this is where you're guilty of this, but they didn't. They never replaced that either.
Now,
as much as we had problems.
Now, do the Mets. Is it J.D. Martinez's leadership? Is it Jose Iglesias singing OMG? What are they missing?
I mean, that one's a tougher one for me to say. Like, okay, some of that magical stuff. I think that certain teams in certain years have pixie dust on them. And I think the Mets had pixie dust, and it's kind of inexplainable.
So what are they then? Because here's a weird thing, and I was picking on Tommy about this.
I think they're an average team with starters that don't go deep enough, and I think the anomaly this year with those three big bats specifically, I'm not calling them the Fab Four, I'm talking about the three big bats.
Yeah.
I think this is a complete outlier negative year for that core.
So what does that mean? They're just an average team?
Yeah, I think they're an average team.
But they should be better offensively.
Exactly.
Yeah, so the thing I battled with Tommy last year, and eventually he won on me, was the Mets got off to the bad start. And then really from June 1st on, whatever the date was, they were the best team in baseball. And while I would argue with him and say, yeah, they're good. I don't buy it yet. You'd always say, yeah, but since June 1st, they're better than the Phillies. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I would say you were right because they got to the NLCS and they were one of the best teams in the National League from that moment on. The Mets are doing the opposite now. So am I supposed to believe that, hey, since April 28th, they're an under 500 team. That's who they are.
Well, I just think there's multiple ways to accomplish your goals. Like, you could start off hot. You could have a slow period. You can get hot again. You know what I mean?
You can, but the Mets ended up answering what you said last year by being that best team all the way through.
But I just think
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do, but I just think that each year is unique. And last year, the uniqueness of that team is that they kind of started going downhill in early June, and they kept that momentum, and even like a little hiccup here and there, but they never really lost it. This year they've lost it, and they've had a harder time kind of finding it for a myriad of reasons, and I think probably the biggest one is the not hitting with runners in scoring position. But the Soto home runs, there's going to be guys on bases at some point when he hits. The guy's got what, like almost 30 home runs right now? Like, things like, to me it feels more flukish. More just that's baseball than it is that this team is somehow broken or is missing the pixie dust of last season.
You may not have heard this because you were in Nashville drinking your face off. Good for you for that.
Yeah, I did not hear that.
No, you didn't hear this, but I got an email while doing the Rico Bronya saying, hey, we should call Juan Soto Juan Solo from now on. And I was like, I got to tell you, it's freaking brilliant.
Juan Solo.
So Joe B over the weekend, and he's the one guy I trust who's like, no, I just thought of this on my own.
Juan Solo.
Said, you know, this guy, all he does is hit solo home runs.
Absolute stiff. Juan Solo.
I'm going to start calling him Juan Solo. And it reminded me that, because Joe didn't hear the Rico. He certainly didn't listen to our show. He's not listening all the time. I don't think he listens at all.
No.
But that was an example when I heard it this morning, Saturday morning at the beach. I was in Coney Island, and I was listening to my man Joe B on Rewind. I said, we haven't worked together in 5.5 years, and yet we still think alike.
Juan Solo.
That it's popping in his head on a Saturday morning. We should call this guy Juan Solo.
Absolute stiff.
It's either that, or I could totally see knowing Joe. Big Zoo called him that down the line, talking to Joe at his ear, and said, this guy's like Juan Solo.
Oh, you think so?
Big Zoo's a Rico listener around the station, and I think he could have fed it to him.
Well, I'll tell you something that I guarantee Joe came up with by himself. And this one caused me to lose my mind laughing. Okay. Again, went to Coney Island, had a great time. More on that later. I'm sitting on the beach listening to Joe on Rewind. And listen to this comparison he made about the Mets pitching lab.
That lab is starting to be like, you know, that lab in Wuhan, China. You know what I mean?
Come on. The laugh after.
Everything about that cracked me up. The laugh, the cell.
He couldn't even finish and he was laughing.
Oh, he loved it. It's like he had that line in his head for a while.
He had tried it out on himself in the shower, right? Talking to himself.
So is Joe saying that the Mets pitching right now is worse than COVID? I mean, that COVID was bad, bro, but have you seen Sean Manaea recently?
Your call's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.